You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, we're waiting for Ian Cook to, he's going to call in later on, Don, and we're going to get an update on what's going on there, because many people think that if you just ignore something, it'll go away. But Shane Patton, who was made the Chief Commissioner of Police, I think, said that we'd investigate this, and suddenly he said there's nothing to investigate. The greatest fraudulent, corrupt exercise at putting a free enterprise business out of business has been...
I thought it would have been in the courts by March. We're now coming into May, and I don't know what's been happening.
I tell you what's been happening. The courts are overrun. They said you'd be lucky to get your court case up within 3 years with the backlog of stuff that's going on.
Is that
and
through
they're
COVID?
They're going to stonewall Ian Cook's company, iCook Foods. And if you ever wanted a better example of fraudulent corruption in a government enterprise, look no further. And they're going to snowball it, and it's hope it'll all go away. And if ever they should be condemned, this government, for anything, it's that. Don't worry about the balls up with the COVID and the red shirts and the freeways and the bloody tunnel and overrun and all the corruption that they go on with. If you ever want a better example, it's iCook Foods. And they're just going to hope they'll ride it out. And Shane Patton ought to be ashamed of himself for not looking into it further and just dismissing it, if that's what he's done. Mick, you're still here, michaelchristianmenswear.com. You were about to say something. You said, I was about to get onto a thing and I wound it up. So what were you going to say before you go? You said you had to go, or you don't have to go, but what were you going to say? You've usurped Ivan. Ivan's...
I was talking about returning the bust. The bust we...
The bust with the underwear.
Underwear on it. But mine's a little bit more authentic than yours here, because we had to make it look like the picture on the front of the packaging. So in the shop, we put another pair of undies down the front.
I see. So you put a bulge at the front to give the...
A couple of golf balls in there just
I see. So you wanted to give the impression that I had a couple of agates in there.
Was that you that did the photo on the front of your Smarter Sam?
I didn't do the photo.
That wasn't you.
Yeah, that was
no
me.
No sooner had I done it.
So, is he well endowed, Mick?
No, I'm not well endowed. What are you talking about?
Well, he's talking about increasing the size of your penis and also the size of your testicles.
It wasn't Mick. Don,
he must be, because no sooner had I...
Hang on, Mick, you go on.
Well, he must be well endowed, because no sooner had I done this and turned around, some woman walked past and said, oh, g'day, Sam.
Mick, please, you fucking imbecile. Like, honestly and truly... Don, you said I'm trying to make my penis and my testicles look bigger.
No, you're not, but they just kind of hang there naturally, because obviously you're well endowed and you're on the front of the Smarter Sam packaging for your underwear. That's you.
Incidentally,
and Mick's trying to replicate that photograph.
Yeah,
incidentally,
I did.
Don, I was speaking to someone, I'm glad you mentioned that, I was speaking to someone who was talking about sexual activity after you've had your prostate out and all that sort of stuff. We're just...
Oh, were you? It would have been a deep intellectual conversation.
No, it wasn't. What?
It would have been a deep conversation.
No, it wasn't a deep conversation. It just came up.
Very light, was it?
And they said, did I hear you correctly on the podcast say that Don... sticks an injection. I think we did this with...
Oh, we've done it about six times now.
We did it with...
Who is this person?
We did it with...
Who is this person?
We did it with Dr. Ben Fordham. Remember,
we've done
I said
it a million times.
And Don, you said you have a
syringe, or you can get a pipe, a vacuum pump.
And the person
you can get
said,
a little put. You can get a transplant of a little thing. I don't know what it's called, but you just hit it and it blows it up like an insertion.
You've obviously gone into it, Don.
I have.
You? Have you had something inserted?
No, I haven't. But you can hit a little button and up comes the old fella.
I know this is personal, but...
it's not personal.
This is personal.
No, this is a fact.
I'm about to ask you something that's personal, Don, please. Could I suggest what? Could I suggest, I'm asking you, when you have a thought you'd like to copulate with man, woman or beast, but let's say a woman at this stage, in recent times, have you actually said to the person when you're about to throw the leg, just excuse me, and you've gone to your little sponge bag and you've brought out the syringe and you've stuck it in the end of your snag and you've injected it and it's suddenly gone rock hard like a railway sleeper and then you've got back on the job. Have you actually done that? Don? Have you actually... She said, this person I was talking to said...
Who was this person? Not the person who made the cake or the tart.
No.
It was her.
It wasn't her.
Well, what's her name?
Who
made the tart?
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about someone. Well, I was having a completely different conversation. They said, do I understand it, Sam, that if you were ever going to actually throw the leg and you thought that you needed a bit of a hand or a bit of some help, that you would reach down beside the bed while I'm lying there.
This was a conversation with a female?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I don't know. You didn't say so.
I did say, let's say man, woman or beast, but let's say woman on this occasion. Would you actually reach down beside the bed, bring out an injection, put it in your cock while I'm lying there and suddenly up it had come and we would get on with it. How romantic, I'm saying, Don, does that take the romance out of
having a root?
What?
I don't think there's much romance in having just a root, is there?
No, I'm just talking about in order to have a root, you've got to get the thing rigid. So putting I don't think
there's much romance.
Have you done that?
I don't think there's much romance when it's just a root.
No, you're missing the point. If you want it to be really romantic and make love to someone, but the only way you could make love to them is get the thing to come up by putting an injection in it, does that take the moment away from actually what the whole thing's about, Don?
I really don't know.
So you've never put an injection in it?
I really don't know.
You don't know if you've put an injection?
No, I don't know about the romance.
Have you put an injection in your dick?
That's not the point.
Does it hurt? That's all I'm asking. Because I might, if I was ever going to think of doing it, I might employ the tactic of getting a spag full of syringes.
A spag full?
I'd rather...
Mick, have you tried it, Mick? Have you tried it with the Ayatollah? Well, she give you boiled fruitcake in as a reward for going over the top. Mick, have you ever put an injection in there? Do you sell injections down at Mick? MichaelChristianMenswear.com. You got a range of injections down there?
I'm only 63 at the moment. So
what's that?
I'm only 63, not 73.
Bullshit, you're more than 63.
63.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
63.
What's that, Don?
You look shit out for 63. Well, looks 100.
How terribly complimentary of you.
We had a rather large fellow in the shop the other day for some underwear. And
We've got him
into the biggest size, which is a double extra large. And he's yelled out from behind the curtain. He said, they still don't fit. So I said... Turn them around. And he did. And he said, they fit like a glove. A couple of days later, he rang me back and he said, that underwear, he said, it's fantastic. He said, the missus has got a complaint. When I got him on backwards, she doesn't know whether I'm coming or going.
Mick, please. Oh, seriously, mate. Honestly. I could see that coming. I could see that coming forth. I could see that coming 2 minutes. I could see that coming.
Why do you let him go?
Because I thought surely he's not going to.
Why did you warn him up earlier?
I could see it coming and I thought surely he's not going to go on. I kicked the bottom out of the bassinet. It's just extraordinary. Mick, I don't know what you're doing down there. No wonder the bloke who was in the rice burner at the lights with no clothes on got your attention.
I haven't got onto the rabbi yet.
The what?
The rabbi.
No, Mick, please. Now, could you tell me this?
Yeah.
Wimbledon is coming up. And they're now banning the Russian tennis players from playing. What has what has Russia invading Ukraine got to do with Medvedev or any other Russian tennis player being banned from Wimbledon? And good on it, our friend Mr. Djokovic said, this is just madness. And do you know what the official reason was that they said that they were banning him? Because should Medvedev win the men's title at Wimbledon, they didn't want the Duchess of York or whoever gives the trophy out to have to give the Wimbledon trophy to someone from Russia, because it would look like they're...
How do you think the crowd would react to Medvedev or any other Russian that was playing? Now, Medvedev,
what does it matter?
Does get a little angry on the court. Do you think there would be boos? He would incite booing and unsightful behaviour?
Of course, they would boo because he's from Russia.
Yes, that's right. So that's do you think because it might be safeguarding Medvedev by not allowing him to come and play?
I think Medvedev,
from the embarrassment of people actually booing him as he came on the court?
I think Medvedev would love the opportunity to play at Wimbledon, would cop the booing, would know that it's probably not directed personally at him. He's copped at most places. I think
that would incite Russia, just as the Croatians were up in arms in the fact that Djokovic wasn't allowed to play in
Melbourne. Incite Russia?
Yes, would it incite Russia, or you know that the fact that he's getting unfair treatment? If he was allowed to play,
of course they'd use
all the rest
that.
Of it, so would yes, they use that?
Of course they would. Of course, well, but what's that better?
Why not just nip it in the bud and say, listen, for reasons that we think, you know, there's something going on at the moment, you know, the crowd would react. We think the crowd would react in such a way. We're just stopping the embarrassment for you.
If he says, I'm very happy to put up with the embarrassment. Okay. I'd like to see if I can win the Wimbledon title.
Well, if he said that, well, that's fine. But as long but as it's not taken out of context, as long as Putin or somebody doesn't take it out of context.
Of course they'll take it out of context. Well, but they're not giving him the opportunity. They're just saying you can't play because we don't want the Duchess of York to have to present you with the trophy because it won't look good. It'll look as though Putin or Russia's had a win. Fair dinkum. Djokovic is a star, Djokovic. He'll be proven right about all his stances on everything at some stage. So that was...
Now, listen, the AFL, I know you don't watch the football, but what they're doing at the moment is, for television, a good thing. They're planning their fixture 6 to 8 weeks in advance, and consequently they can, you know, manipulate the fixture in such a way that the blockbuster games are put on free-to-air television. Now, normally, the allocation is done, like Friday nights is Carlton's night or North Melbourne or someone before the season starts. And now they can move it around as they're doing. Now, that's good for football and television. But I thought, on the other hand, how would clubs go trying to organise their marketing functions with 6 to 8 weeks of planning for a function when they don't know where they're playing, who they're playing, or I suppose they don't know who they're playing, but how do we go about where are we going to play, what day, whatever else, if they're trying to coordinate the function with the football. So I think one way it would be helping the television side of things, but the other way it is not helping the clubs.
So you think the tail is wagging the dog?
Well, I don't think they're considering...
So is this what your meeting at Hawthorne today is about?
No, it's got nothing functions to do with that. It's got nothing to do with...
What are you trying to appoint? Are you trying to find someone to take over from Jeff Kennett as
That's
the president?
Right, it's a nominations committee.
And who's nominated?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, you're not saying?
No, not at
well,
all.
Well, so you're not being transparent about
that. I don't care. I don't care, and I'm not saying it to anybody. It has been published, the nominations committee. And
well, who are they?
And the people on that nominations committee.
Well, who are they?
If you say
it's been published.
There is a number from the board. There's the Vice President, Peter Nankerville.
What's his name?
Peter Nankerville. He's the Vice President.
So he's put himself up to be the President?
No, he is chairing...
Oh, I see, yes.
...the meeting.
Some of the nominations that have been put forward?
I'm not telling you anything with regard to discussion.
Okay, so you've had nominations put forward, but you're not saying
names
who they
have
are.
Been, not na- names have been put forward, but...
Who have put them forward?
Well, the nominations committee.
They've got
There's
a list
a number of people that make
they,
up a committee.
I see. So they've got a list of people that they would like to interview with a view to...
No, well, interview, but you discuss it and...
Yeah. Are there any women?
Yes.
Right, good. So there's men and women, and that's probably just it.
That's right.
Good.
That's it.
And what's the likely scenario, Don? Who do you think they'll lean?
Will it
be a quota thing or will it be a meritocracy thing, do you think?
You don't know.
Well, you're going down there for a meeting today about it.
That's right. I'll find out today.
Is Jeff Kennett part of it?
No, he's not part of it.
He is the president. He's not privy to who might
take
over.
The vice president is chair of the nominations committee.
Why wouldn't the president be part of who would succeed him?
Well, I don't know, but he's not.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Because the board made this recommendation as to who was on the nomination.
And excluded Jeff, the president, from having anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a bit unusual, isn't it, Don?
I don't know, John.
You don't know? Oh, well, I thought you might know, Don. Why? Did you say you wouldn't be going if Jeff Kennett was part of the selection panel?
Nothing to do. No.
What? So what are you going to discuss today? How long will this go on?
John... We move on to another topic.
Well, you suggest
$100. This is going absolutely nowhere.
Well, go on then, get on with it.
The other thing, talking about AFL, what's frustrating me at the moment, and as soon as you bring up the issue,
Dustin Martin, shut up.
When you bring up the thing, player out because of mental illness.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Why is it, you know, as soon as we say mental illness, we back off.
We do.
The media backs off, the general public does. We're in
give them space.
Now, I'm having real problems in coming to terms with mental illness in regards to football. Yep. Is it more, and I'm going to throw it out there, are these people on drugs?
The people who've got mental illness.
And they're using a term, mental illness. Oh, we'll back off now. Mm. We don't. But if it was drugs, you would go and investigate and find out a little bit more about what's going on.
Yes.
Now, is mental illness thrown out there as, we won't go any further, and clubs are using this as a tactic?
Don, I'll tell you what, mate. I don't think we can draw the inference.
Why?
That people are using mental illness as a reason because they're on drugs not to play football.
But I'm asking, having played the game, you've played the game, where does mental illness come into football? I thought it could be an outlet.
Hmm.
Mental illness. Yes. You do sport or something along that line, which is an outlet to relieve your frustrations and whatever else. I find it difficult where mental illness plays a part in football.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, Don. I'm staggered that there's that many people using mental illness as a reason why they can't play football.
I'm getting mental illness just watching it.
That's a nice input from MichaelChristianMenswear.com, injecting a sobering comment into the discussion that he gets ill mentally just watching it.
It's not fair to come out and say mental illness for these players when they're not really suffering from it. And it's an insult.
But that's what Don's saying.
And it's an insult to the people who really do suffer from it.
Well, this is what
That's another take. That is another take on the situation. I didn't.
We're going to interview a boy coming in here today called
Clay Smith.
Clay Smith, who played in
and he wore a number.
Western Bulldogs Premiership.
That's very famous at Footscray.
And he stopped playing football, I think.
No, he stopped playing because he physically couldn't go anymore. His knee broke down on him. I think he went... Well, anyway, we'll talk about all this with him when he comes on because he's got an interesting story to tell.
Well, he apparently has suffered from depression.
Oh, did he?
Well, that's what the blurb says.
What, before, whilst he was playing or after he
that's
finished?
That's why he stopped.
Well, I thought it was knee reconstruction.
And then he turned to alcohol.
Well,
and
was
drugs.
That because he finished football? But I was under the impression that the
what
knee.
What we'll do, of course, Don, is when he comes in, he will ask him because he might be able to throw some very serious light onto the question that you're raising, Don. And he'll say, it's not overblown. I was depressed severely And we can ask him what made him suppressed. Depressed, it might be the fact that he was frustrated because he had an injury and couldn't do what he wanted to do, and that's play football, Don.
Do you realise in Victoria we're still under a state of emergency?
Oh, don't.
Yeah, no, no, do you boys realise that?
Yes, I did.
All the sanctions are being lifted, you know, because it's a year of political, it's election time for the state government later in the year, but we are still under a state of emergency.
No, I didn't realise that because I take no interest in what any of these people in government say about this state. They are corrupt. They are a disgrace. They are just using it as a tool to gain power and do whatever they want. And they are they're actually low IQ people running us. And so I take no interest in it at all. I noticed the government made an announcement saying they're going to spend $100 billion by the year 2050 to improve the rail system throughout the metropolitan area. Now, seriously, how could you make that statement with a straight face? $100 billion by the year 2050. What's that mean? That means nothing. And you can bet if they've earmarked $100 billion by the year 2050, by the time 2050 comes, it'll be a trillion, it'll be $200 trillion, judging by the overrun.
I went for a drive and, you know.
They'll probably have the railway station signs written in Chinese.
That's make a very good point, mate. Oh. Don, not worried about the Chinese sweeping down and taking over the country. Not worried about that at all, Don. You're saying no, if they want to do that, let them.
No, I did not. You did say that. I did not say that.
Leave them alone, you said.
I didn't say that at all.
You did. You said leave them alone.
As they leave Australia alone.
They don't. They're on the march for global domination, Don. That's what they are. 1.5 billion of them on the march.
Talking about infrastructure and railways, I went through Cranbourne. Cranbourne is now, if you go out to a place called Cadinia, which was a country town, a little tiny hamlet, had a post office, and there's a place called Clyde, east of Cranbourne. Do you know that the suburban area has now encroached right out to that area? They are now cutting up prime farming land for estates. You know, I passed a tractor. It's still agricultural. I passed a tractor on Bilardo Road yesterday, yet they're still cutting up. And then you say about and where I'm why I'm tying it in with the railways is there used to be a railway line that went through Clyde, through, you know, Cooey Rup and whatever else down to Gippsland. Now, there is absolutely no infrastructure out there except buses. You've got to...
Okay, now here we go. Jeez. This is Ian Cook. Now, hang on.
Hold the puck.
Just a minute.
I was on a roll there with Ian
Cook. No, just a minute. Now, can you... Ian, hang on. Can you hear us? Speaker. Can you hear us, Ian?
Yes, loud and clear.
No, I can't hear you. Hang on. No. Can you just keep speaking, please? No. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear us now?
I can. I can hear you all.
Very good. I can hear you. Don, can you hear him?
Well, I don't know. He hasn't spoken.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Good morning, Don.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Now we've covered the first part of this, Ian. We've got you on air, I think.
So, well done.
So I think this, and we're being recorded, so this is a first for me. I've been able to take a phone conversation and actually put it to air. So thank you for ringing in. I know we spoke during the week and you said you had some errata. Now, Mick, ChristianMenswear.com, he's off because he's run out of all his jokes that he's told us. So, Ian, thanks for ringing in. Now, give us an update on what's going on, please.
As I told you before, Sam, you know the story that went out with the ABC and the auditors, and you know we're suing an auditor because he colluded with the Department of Health to and changed documents, etc. That's all bad enough. We now have an informer who tells us that the auditor who did our
just back up. Just cover that for the people who have just forgotten. Just cover that first bit about the ABC.
Okay, so the ABC got court records that showed documents where an auditor who came in after we were closed,
yes,
and was supposed to be doing an independent audit of us.
Yes.
We've got emails that say things like his name was Gavin Bucket, his company was the Gourmet Guardian, and in court documents, an email that was released says, this is from Gavin Bucket to Pauline Maloney and Leanne Johnson. So Pauline Maloney, she audits the auditors and works for the Department of Health and Human Services, or what it was called then. And Leanne Johnson is the head of health at Dandenong. And this Bucket writes to them and says, attached are my draft critical non-conformances. Please let me know what you want me to add or remove. So he wasn't independent. He was just writing what he was told to write.
I see. He was coerced or voluntarily was asking how could he make the case better for the people defending themselves against you.
That's right. Yes. He was helping with the cover up. They were trying to keep us shut. In actual fact, he actually changed the doctor. So the original report that he wrote after he did the audit.
So it showed you in a good light, and he was asked to change that to show you in not a good light.
In a nutshell, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
There's a more important question here, Ian. Are you getting a lot of inside information? Are people in these so-called high positions starting to get a conscience and
now
letting
starting
a few,
to whistleblow?
Yes. Starting to happen, Ian?
That was the second part of what you were going to say, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. So we now have an informer who's come forward and told us, and this is someone who works within that system, the Department of Health and all of that, and this person has come forward and told us that the so-called independent auditor, the one that did our most recent, it was before Bucket, the one that did an audit that we passed, which was the audit that was standing when Sutton closed us, that auditor was threatened with his registration if he didn't do as he was told by the Department of Health.
So who threatened him? This is the office of the Minister for Health?
Yes, this is the Department of Health.
Oh, Department, this I mean, is, yep.
Yeah, this is under, these people work under Dr. Brett Sutton.
Yep.
Or Professor, whatever you want to call him these days. Now, this person told us that this auditor was threatened with his registration if he didn't do what they told him to do, and he had to get to it. Now, you say to yourself, how does this happen? I mean, when you think about it, that's almost blackmail.
Well,
and we've got Victoria Police. Yeah, and we've got Victoria Police doing nothing. I mean, these people are coming and telling me these things. There are people that work in this system. This is about the fourth one. You know what? If I name them, they'd lose their jobs or they would find themselves
so
in
you've
a lot
got
of water.
Just hold on there. You have had four leaks or four people coming forward with information within the various government departments.
Correct. That's correct. And, yeah. And this one, this one we have a recording of it.
I was just going to say, have you got anything concrete?
Yes, we do.
And so the newly appointed chief police minister, Shane Patton, is he cognizant of this? Because he said that there was no case to answer, I think, didn't he, officially, or no charges to be laid. Is he cognizant of the fact that you have this information?
Yes, so the police do have all of this.
And they're still saying there's nothing to answer.
Correct. They know all of this, and they know because we had a whole heap of it before this bit that I'm talking to you today about. We discussed it with them. And by the way, Shane Patton, so far, I don't think he's come out and told anyone there's no case to answer.
I thought he did in December.
No, I will say in December, we were told by Assistant Commissioner Barrett down at Dandenong You know, this is Dandenong that apparently have a conflict of interest, which is why they couldn't investigate it, but they're the ones that made the decision. So we've got Dandenong who are mates with everybody at the City of Greater Dandenong, and they're the ones that wrote to me and said there's not enough evidence here, which is just garbage.
So where is Mr. Robert Richter QC with all this? Because he was...
He's good. He and Dr. Michelle Sharp, the two barristers, are working very hard on it. The department and the judicial system seem to be intent on slowing everything down, but we can't do anything about that. We just have to keep plugging away. Sooner or later, they will end up having to stand up in court and defend the criminal actions of either employees or bureaucrats or whoever is held to account for all of this. But the buck stops with Dr. Sutton, and you know, it's his department, it's his people. And now it's people that work for that department that are leaking this stuff out to us.
So there's more and more whistleblowers now starting to come out because they've suddenly realised this is a disgrace.
I think that's the case. I think there are people who realise that A, they don't want to get in trouble when it all finally blows up. Sooner or later, there will be an inquiry into all of this.
That's Ian, exactly what I was going to ask you, because when Shane Patton came out in December and said there's no case to answer, we asked you as to when your case would show light of day in the courts, and you said March. We've gone past March. When do you think you will have your day in court?
I wish I could tell you, Don. We don't know.
Why were you given March and now you don't know?
Well, originally we had a court date, which was February, like end of February, and then we were supposed. Then we had a directions hearing in March. At that directions hearing, all we want, we applied to, because we had new evidence come up, we applied to include that in an amended statement of claim. That has been vehemently opposed by the Department of Health and by Dandenong. And they're opposing it on the basis that they don't want us to modify our statement of claim to have anything to do with the auditors, I think, in it. And so, at the moment, you've got a judicial registrar who has reserved his decision, and apparently I'm told that can go on for some period of time.
My fear is, Ian, that this is all nice and hunky-dory and pretty legal and pretty passive. You wait till they become desperate and the real nefarious people step in and start threatening witnesses with standover tactics, with criminal activity, and... suddenly you'll have people who are quite willing to testify suddenly say, no, we've withdrawn our testimony, because that's where this next step will be. If they are really threatened, they will resort to form, and their standover tactics with people with nefarious backgrounds, that's will be their next step. That's what you've got to guard against.
Absolutely. Can I also say, when you think about it, in recent years, there were four different auditors that came in. So there were two that were independent auditors prior to our closure, and there were two after our closure. We know categorically now that, and we have either documents or recordings for three of them. The other one spoke to Ben, our general manager, my son, on the phone, but we know that the Department of Health has contacted all four. We know that one of them, they got him to change documents and change his report, and the other one, we now know from the informer that he was threatened.
Okay, well, this is the start of the standover tactics starting to rear their ugly heads.
Yeah, and for everyone out there, I mean, this isn't conspiracy theorists. This isn't, we're just dreaming this. This isn't us thinking, that's what we think they're doing. These are documents. These are recordings. These are people telling us what's happening. I mean, this, I just turned 62. And it absolutely blows me away that I trusted this system for so long, and yet I find myself now looking at it and seeing the level of cover-up and corruption. You know, it does make me feel a little bit naive. I just cannot believe how much of this there is. I can't believe the truth that keeps coming out.
You would think that this would be ready-made for someone like 60 Minutes or pay television investigative programs to do this. This is a scandal in the highest degree. You'd think that that's what those people cut their teeth on, those programs.
Yeah, I guess they do. I'm wondering if maybe they want to see some of the results at the other end. I don't know. But you would think that there's a story in what's happened already so far. Because you and I are talking about the auditors now. I mean, if we go back to when it all started, you're talking about we were closed because he said we killed someone. So it's now been proven that not only do they not know what this woman ate, not only did they, when they finally got the scientific results, they find that the products that we were producing and sending into that hospital were all safe and all fitted all the legislative requirements for safe food. They then tried DNA matching, and they cocked that up, and they find that the same corned beef that had the supposed listeria in it was also, those foods were also found in human samples in Queensland. We don't sell food to Queensland. So, I mean, it's been one thing after another where they've tried to change the story, lie, cover up. You've got Elizabeth Garlick. We have metadata, crystal clear metadata, showing that Elizabeth Garlick altered evidence in a criminal case against myself and the company, and the police don't want to do anything about it.
Why isn't that the subject of a program that does this for a living?
I told you at the initial, when we initially discussed this, this is a script for a film, and the script is getting better, Ian.
Yeah, the scary part is the script is factual. It's real. These things really are happening. And you know, everybody in Victoria should be sitting there and wondering, because you know what? Today it's myself and my employees and my company. Who's tomorrow? You know, if you cross this government and Andrews, if you don't fit what they want, they can just take you out. I mean, this doesn't sound like Victoria or Australia. This sounds somewhat more like China or Russia to me.
Oh, Don thinks we'll just let the Chinese do what they want to do. Don doesn't realise that the Chinese are on the march. That's a different story that we've been discussing. Well, Ian, as always, we always like to put you on if you've got anything else to say, because, as I say, they're going to try and run the clock out, and if, as long as people like us let it go, people have got to keep it at the forefront to just see how corrupt and dishonest this is.
Ian, one final question. Is there, and I asked you it earlier, can you see a light at the end of the tunnel? You've got no idea now when you're going to have your day in court. Have you been given 12 months by the barristers as to when this is going to bear fruit?
No, I guess they're in the dark as much as I am, Don, because we're waiting on this decision. So until the judicial registrar comes up with his decision, then we can't proceed with what they call the directions, which is when we would get another court date.
Why is there such a lag? Is there a backlog of court cases at the moment?
3 years.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, but that's for your court date. The issue at the moment is, for some reason, this registrar can't make his mind up about what I think was a fairly straightforward application. So,
do you think the government is getting to the registrar? Or registrar?
You know what? There was a time when...
you wouldn't put anything past them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
we've got an election towards the end of this year. This would be very embarrassing if it came out from here to when the election is.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want to put it off till after the election. Election, no election, whatever it is, we're just going to keep fighting on, and we will keep plugging away. And okay. with the assistance of people like yourself and being able to let people know we're still here, and every time we get someone comes out and tells us more information, we make sure everybody hears it. Because as I said before, this isn't just about us. This is about okay. everybody else in Victoria.
Well, good on you, mate. We're very happy to give you the space anytime you want to give us anything new about what's going on. So thank you very much. Ian Cook from iCook Foods. All the best.
No worries. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Don.
Now, I think we're off. I don't think he's on the line anymore, Don. I think he's finished. He's off. I've turned it off. So there we are. So we just like to keep doing that, Don, because it will just die a natural death if we don't keep mentioning it. And we're just very small fish, but there should be bigger fish that are, in fact, the opposition, who are trying to oust the incumbent, which is their job at every election, why they're not bring this to the forefront, because we've said some pretty inflammable things, and so has Ian Cook, and no one's ever said that none of what we're saying is right. So I think we're on pretty safe ground. Don.
It's amazing. That's the state of politics in Victoria and Australia, but I noticed that the New South Wales teachers, I don't know if you realise this, are going on strike, the primary teachers. I just think that these people, it used to be a very...
Why are they?
Well, for better conditions. You know, a lot of things have been piled on them over the years. Teaching is no longer what it was. When we were younger, the teachers would rock up, do their classes and basically go home. They'd do maybe a little bit of work behind the scenes, but now they're being really labelled with a lot of things. It's become a very litigious society, the way they go into things, paperwork and whatever else. So it's not just the act of teaching, there's also a lot of administrative work. But what amazes me is that this is the future of our country. And it was a very hallowed position being a teacher. The best students, when they graduated back in my time, a lot of them went off teaching, so they were academically qualified. Not that I'm saying you can't now, but some of them can come in as adults, not have the educational process, but come in as 21-year-olds, qualified to become teachers. You know, for the future of our country, we really should look at investing in these people, because they will make our society and our country in the future. I attended a primary school the other week, and what I noticed was an imbalance. A lot of women to men. Now, that's not the right way, so it's not an attractive profession to men, and children should be getting a balance in their teaching.
More importantly is what they are actually being taught. What's happening in the States is that this thing called CRT, critical race theory, is being taught by activists.
What does that mean?
That means that the whole of history is trying to be rewritten by activists who are now teachers, and they're trying to give gender orientation to preschoolers and kindergarten, and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has said he has banned it, and now they're saying they're against gay people. They're not against gay people at all. They're just saying they don't want impressionable young kids who are in preschool and kindergartens to be being taught by activists about transgender and what their bodies are and what they should be feeling like, whether they're men or women. I had one teacher said that doctors are uncertain when a child is born what his sex is. Could you believe that? That the child has to decide what his sex is. So they're saying that if you come out and he's got male genitals, they just can't quite say that he's actually a male. This is where it's headed, and this is what is being taught and being infiltrated into schools.
Well, that's in America. Very careful. That's what in America, but the teachers are going on strike here. You will get the better people coming to the profession if it's worthwhile. And at the moment, it's not worthwhile.
Well, there we are. So, now what else have you got on there, Donald? Because I've got a completely blank sheet here because every time we finish these things...
Well, I went looking for the netball because I'm an avid fan of netball.
Yeah.
I cannot see...
Netball was on. I was watching it the other day.
Yeah, but that's...
They had a netball show on Fox Television.
Yeah, Foxtel. Well, it used to be on free-to-air. It's no longer on free-to-air, or I couldn't find it.
No.
Now, there's a very good sport, women's sport.
It's not a mainstream sport that attracts sponsorship.
It can be a mainstream sport. Why isn't it?
But I'm not decrying it. I'm just saying the free-to-air stations rely on advertising to make a profit, and if people are not watching
it... Well, what are they... Why is AFL on? Women's AFL, why is it on free-to-air television? They're nowhere near as competent as what these athletes are. This is the top league in the world, in Australia right now. They are importing players to play in the league. It is a very, very good league, and it's the best of the best.
It is.
Why isn't this on television free-to-air?
Very good point, Don, because the AFL... through diversity and inclusion and equity and all those catchphrases, they have said that the AFWL, the women's football, should be on, and the stations have buckled to it. And you're quite right, there'd be far more interest in top netball that women play in a top netball competition than the AFWL. There would be. That's not decrying the people who play football, the women who play football, but it's just it doesn't have the interest. It has been proven it doesn't have the interest as to what you're talking about. But they're being coerced by the inclusion and the equity of the AFL getting involved in things that they don't necessarily or should be involved in. That's what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, well, what did you do then? Are you on there still?
Yes.
What did you plug that
That's
in
That's called headphones.
Well, you don't need headphones.
Well, why have you got yours on?
Because I forgot to take them off after we got off Ian Cook and you've just...
Jeez, you're a hard man.
No, but I'm trying to make sure Very that this, some man. Of this goes to Ed on. So that's quite right about the netball. People would far rather watch top-grade netball... Than top grade netball played by top grade netballers, women, than watching AFWL as opposed to AFL, wouldn't they?
Mm.
Yes. But I saw it on Fox Sports. They have a netball show. It's called
instead of
the footy show, it's called the netball show.
Great.
And it's
Why don't the papers pick it up and go with it more? The dailies.
Well,
cover it more than what they're doing.
So they cover the AFL ad nauseum, yes. Right? And that's fair enough. And because the AFL hitched their wagon to the AFWL because of all the things we've mentioned, inclusion and diversity and equity, they feel obliged to cover that as well. And that's why they get coerced by the AFL. The tail ends up wagging the dog. As I said, the AFL just concentrated on things that actually give the football-going public some joy and some less frustration rather than worrying about trying to save the world. Things would be far better, in my opinion, Don. Incidentally, how's our friend going with... he was going to bring out another book, wasn't he? What was that? The book called The Boys Club? What was his name? Michael Warner?
Michael Warner.
Didn't you say you were speaking to him? He had another book
He had a lot of material. What came to light was from The Boys Club, a lot of people came to him and he could write another book on The Boys Club by the material that people volunteered after that was published. Mm. So I don't know whether a second volume of The Boys Club is coming out.
No, and the people in the top office said they hadn't read it because they didn't want to read it because they thought it was nonsense. Which means that it's probably absolutely true and they didn't want to have to actually answer any of the questions that he brought up. Mm. Do you think? But this is something we could discuss with Gil, of course, when we have coffee.
No, well, I'm not privy to your cup of coffee with Gil. Just you and Gil.
Yeah, no, it's just me and Gil.
Do you mind if I have another piece of...
No, go right ahead. All right, well, that's it. So,
actually, this lady has got a talent that a lot of women nowadays don't have, and that is to cook. She's got an eye.
It's healthy.
It is healthy.
It's very healthy.
In the past, ladies were very adept at sewing and cooking. Adept at sewing.
That's A-D-E-P-T.
Oh, I said A-P-T, sorry. And she reminds me of grandmother used to cook in a bowl like this.
Did she?
Yeah. And, geez, it brings back memories. It's very nice. Who is it? Who's cooking this?
Who's cooking it?
Yeah, or who made it?
An acquaintance of mine made it.
She hasn't moved in?
Beg pardon?
The acquaintance hasn't moved in?
With me?
Yes.
That doesn't even require an answer.
Yes, it does.
Oh, no, she said maybe Don would like this because... She says, you're always criticising me. And I said, why don't you say something nice about Don occasionally? I said, well, I do. I'm very happy to say something nice about Don when he deserves it. So that's who she is. I moved in. What's that mean? That's a ridiculous statement. I was going to find, can't find it. Anyhow, that's it. Don, so is there anything else? Right, and I just want you to have one more look at this sheet of notes and saying, oh, geez, I meant to mention that.
Should I mention the people who go down to Sorrento holidaying at Easter and Christmas?
Please.
And leave their common sense on a hook at Rye or Rosebud or Dromana.
Yes. More information,
and continue
please.
On in their
SUVs. Elite,
yes, and their upmarket cars.
Yes.
And what? And they think that they own the car parking in Sorrento.
They think they own the car parking in Sorrento? They're allowed to park their cars, aren't
that's
they?
That's right. But what they do...
What do they do?
...is that instead of they see somebody just happen to walk to a car, they pull up and they wait. And if you're aware of the topography of Sorrento, it's very difficult. They should continue
what do you mean
on.
They wait.
They wait
to take a car
person,
spot.
That yes, to get that particular car
well,
spot.
Well, what's wrong
and
with
what
that?
What does happen then?
What?
And it happened last week. The angst. Line behind them on this particular occasion was 100 metres long and stretched down the hill to the beach.
Yes.
For one person wanting a particular car spot. They could not drive on, oh, well, we've missed this one, or there might be one further down the road, or go somewhere else. But to make sure they got this particular car spot in right in front of the shop that they wanted to go to, they held the traffic up, and it was 100 metres long.
Yeah. So if they want to wait in their car for
a car... hold the traffic up?
Yeah, no, that's ignorant, isn't it? That is ignorant. No, I quite agree.
Why does it happen in Sorrento?
Well, because you've got the social elite down there who got their head up their ass. Anyhow, Don, well, there we are. So we've got our interviewees, Michael Zarafa and who else is coming in? You just mentioned his name.
Billy Smith.
Not Billy Smith. Zach, well, no.
No, Clay.
Clay Smith, yeah.
Clayton Smith.
Clayton, they're coming in and we're going to speak to them. So that's it now. What am I doing? Where are we? So we're finished now. This is...
Oh, come on.
Right.